Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holly. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham on the road against Burnley at Turf Moor. We'll also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Roundtable, and I think we have two great topics to discuss. Along with that, we also have Kit's interview that he did earlier today with Sarah Brooks. We'll be playing that. So we have a good amount to get through in this next hour. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show, Mr. Holly. How you doing?
Good evening, Mr. Goldman. I'm fine, thank you.
Well, that's good to hear, David. It sounds like you're actually in good spirits today. That's good to hear.
Yeah, well, I got a double prescription of morphine today, so I've got enough to kill myself with or keep me going for a year now, so that's great.
Oh, boy, okay. Well, listen, it's good that you're in a good mood because, actually, you know what? Fulham got a huge victory over the weekend, so that's something that should put you in a good mood. We do have a very interesting match to preview tomorrow. You know, again, this is a I guess you could say a match that that is going to be very difficult on the road at Turf Moor, and I look forward to getting your thoughts on that in a little bit, David. But before we get into the Cottage Talk Roundtable, do you want to share any thoughts you have on the victory on Saturday?
Well, obviously, I was delighted, you know. I mean, I did say we should play a 3-5-2. I did name those players, and I said we should go at them from the start, get an early goal, get our noses in front. And for once, Kit listened, and it all came together. So credit to Kit for listening in and you know, taking on board some new ideas. It was what we needed, you know. That's what we want to see from Kit, whether he actually got the ideas from us or whether he got it from somewhere else. But he actually did something different, you know. He was bold. He tried a new system. And had it failed, I would have still given him credit for trying the system. But it worked. It worked brilliantly. We used Husband and Fredericks exactly to their potential. Kearney was able to play in the middle as part of a three, where, you know, he looked okay playing in the middle, but perhaps he's not quite tough enough to play as one of a two. But as one of a three, he doesn't need to worry about tackling because Tunnicliffe and O'Hara can do that. So it suited the players we had perfectly. We had pace and we had width and we had movement. We went at them from the start. We got our noses in front and we never looked back, really. And that was, you know, only, it was probably half time spoilt it, because if we could have played the whole match, we could have carried on, I guess. But fantastic, you know. And full marks to Kit for doing something different, for a change at last. And I just hope that, you know, it's the start of something to come. The only disappointment was, and I tweeted it jokingly, I said, at last, you know, we've had two consecutive halves of good football. The shame was it was in two different matches, obviously. You know, we had a great second half against Reading and we had a great first half against Bristol City. The second half was obviously an anti-climax. When you're 4-0 up, you know,
sure,
you're thinking, oh, we're going to go on and really win this game. The fact that we didn't score again and they got that last-minute goal just was a very, very smallest kind of, you know, a bit of annoyance. And I'm sure it was for everyone that we still let in that trademark late goal, and that was the annoyance for me. But overall, you can't take away from, you know, a great victory and performance of the week, I think, in the Championship.
Listen, I completely agree with that, David, and it's funny because I watched Football League tonight. They led with it, which was great. Getting back on with Kit, you know, again, after the match, you know, again, I'm going to be playing the audio version of the video, which you can watch on FulhamFC.com. He talks about that goal, and he also talked about the fact that the players were not happy with giving up that late goal. So you'll hear that, and that's actually a positive to take out of this, that, again, they do give up the late goal, but they were not satisfied. They were actually upset that they gave up that goal. That's actually something good to take out of it because, again, you want them to have a clean sheet. You want them to have that hunger to play better and not give up that goal. It's striving to be better. So in a weird way, David, there were positives to take out of that, even giving up the goal, because it might have ticked them off. And hopefully they'll take that with them going into this match against Burnley, because it's going to be a very difficult match. All right, David, let's go into the College Talk Roundtable. And, again, we are talking about the 3-5-2. What is so funny, like I mentioned on the last show with Mike, I told him that, again, when I saw that it was going to be that starting 11, I thought, oh, my, he's actually going to go with a 3-5-2. And I was concerned about you, David, because I thought that you might actually have a heart attack or something because you've been wanting this for the longest time. And, you know, again, I'm very happy that he went with this. But the bigger question is this. Should Fulham play the 3-5-2 formation on a regular basis this season? What are your thoughts about this, David?
Well, firstly, you don't need to worry about my heart. Yeah, I've been following Fulham over 40 years, and it's been strong. And in the summer, I've had all my insides ripped out under general anaesthetic for 9 hours, and my heart was able to take that. So I think my heart is fine, but thanks for the concern. My biggest upset on Saturday would have been with that starting lineup if he would have played a 4-4-2, because there was a few people were saying, oh, maybe he's going to play Husband left midfield and Ream at left back. But the way I was confident from the way that the Fulham had laid it out, because they went basically Fredericks and then the three centre backs, then Husband, that they were going to play that 3-5-2 or the 5-3-2, depending on whether they were taking the defending. But I think, you know, I did listen in to the show yesterday to see what you guys had to say, obviously, because it was a truly excellent show I read. So I thought I'd better listen in to see, you know, get some tips so we can make a truly excellent show as well here, obviously. And I heard Yanis saying, you know, basically we should play it, you know, as much as possible, or, you know, play it regularly. And I think it's not so much about the opposition, it's more about the players we have. We do need to find a way to keep Kearney central if possible. We do need to find a way to play with width and pace. If you play a 4-4-2, and at the moment it's probably Fredericks and Husband anyway,
right,
they have less license to go forward in a 4-4-2 because their role is more defensive. In the 3-5-2, you know, which, you know, Mike was talking about excellently, how it pivots, you know, when one side is attacking, the other side sort of swings across the cover. In the 3-5-2, you have much more license. You look at Jim Husband, you know, he was ramping up that left wing, involved with the goals and things. You know, he really had a great part in it. So why would you not want to play like that again? If that's what we've been lacking in you know, the width. You know, if you're going to play them there, who are you going to play in front of them? Who are you going to play in front of Fredericks if you play Fredericks at right back? We haven't got another natural right winger, not really at the moment. You can't play LVC there. Well, you can, but he's not going to give you that width and pace. You can't really play Kakalicic there because he's going to cut inside if he plays wrong wing. So I think it is something we should look to stick with. We found something that was devastatingly successful. Why change it? And except if you have injuries to key players. Now, if Fredericks was injured and Teacher's Pet had to come back, for example, Teacher's Pet couldn't play the 3-5-2, I don't think. He, on the rare times he goes forward, his crossing is pretty poor normally. He doesn't have the pace. So I think you have to look at the players that are available. But the ones we have at the moment, I think we should look to play the 3-5-2. Obviously, it's going to depend on what happens with James Husband. If he goes back and stays back, it's either can Luke Garbutt play that role? I'm not sure whether he can or not. I think he's probably a more conventional left-back. But then it's possible, you know, with a bit of practice, he may get more used to that, which is obviously, it leads on to the next question you're going to ask in a minute, but, you know, as to what system we play and who, if anyone, we need to be looking for in the January transfer window. But I certainly would like to see the 3-5-2 used regularly. I'm not saying absolutely every time if there is reasons when it shouldn't be played. But I think if we go to Burnley and play 4-4-2, for example, and just sit back, it's probably the wrong tactics because it'll just be a matter of waiting for Burnley to score, because Burnley are very, very strong. I think we have to take the game to Burnley, so I don't see why we should change something that worked really, really well.
Okay, very interesting take, and I'm glad that you brought Burnley into this because, again, we'll be talking about that match coming up. But what's interesting, David, is that I went back and researched Burnley a little bit, and they've played 4-4-2 every single match. So, again, If he goes with 4-4-2, you're basically matching up with him. My only thought on this is, again, initially I thought, just like you and just like Giannis, you know what? It's working. It can be devastating at some points. Why not just go with that all the time if we can? The counter to that, and again, I'm going to read some comments from the phone supporters, is this. You also want to match up to your opponent, meaning that maybe playing that formation isn't the right matchup against the team you're playing. You know, maybe it doesn't give us the advantage that we hoped. You know, in those situations, you know, again, I could see why maybe he would use a different formation. But it also gives you the flexibility. Mike was talking about the beauty of the 3-5-2. It really is a flexible formation, and that's what's great about it. But, David, another point that you actually made that's a very good one, and Mike made it as well. It also matters on personnel available for that match, like you mentioned, with injuries. So then that might change how you would, you know, what formation you would use in a certain match. But I also want Kit to match wits with the other manager, David. And maybe there are going to be situations where playing a 4-4-2 makes more sense based on what the opponent's doing. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but where is it written that you should match the formation of the other team? Do you not remember we had this conversation about Fulham and QPR? And
we did,
they
yeah.
Play a 4-3, they played a 4-3-3, and we played a 4-4-2, or they played a 4-5-1, if I remember rightly. And
that's correct. You are 100% right.
And we battered them. So we didn't match their system, or they didn't match our system. All right, you could say that because they didn't match our system, but, you know, the benefit of the 3-5-2 is that it becomes a 5-3-2 if you're up against
correct.
It. So not only
correct.
Have you still got fullbacks, you've got an extra man in the middle in defence, and you've got three men in centre midfield. So with a 3-5-2 straight 5-3-2, you should be very, very strong through the centre of the team. You should be very strong. And that's where hopefully everything emanates from. So, you know, you're going to always have your spare man at the back, hopefully. And I can't see, you know, whilst you've got the... It does very much, you know, involve having the two wing-backs. They have to be quick. And we've seen that both Fredericks and Husband are both very quick. So
yes.
If you have those two players, it works because they can get back quickly. To turn your 3-5-2 into a 5-3-2. But theoretically, you've always got the three in central midfield, and you've always got the three in central defence. Therefore, you've got a lot of strength through that spine, and you've got the two up front as well. So
yeah.
it's almost a... It's like a sleight of hand, almost. We have to get Ben, the magic mod, on to talk about it. It's like a sleight of hand. It's a way of... You've almost created, like, an extra player. You're like, you're playing with 12 players, almost. You know what I mean? It's...
No,
I
hear where you're going, and Mike was basically talking about that a little bit as well, talking about the flexibility
yeah.
that it gives you.
And so I don't subscribe to the fact that you should play the system the other team plays.
Okay.
I can understand the logic, you know, going man for man, like for like, but that is almost a defensive sort of tactic to me. It's, you know, it's where you're trying to counter them, but we're looking here, obviously, you know, we don't want to be defensive and going into matches Roy Hodgson-esque, as it was in those days. When we'd go away from home, that's what we'd do, isn't it? We'd, like, try and match the opposition and frustrate them away from home. We, you know, and it worked because we did well at home, so away from home we didn't need the points so much. But I think if you want to be going, especially away from home and winning games, you need to be doing something where... In fact, the opposition have got to be thinking about matching up to you rather than you matching up to them. You
That's
want
a
to
great
be,
point,
you know, Dave. You know, you want to be one step ahead of them. So I don't necessarily think you should just look to match the opposition. To me, that's a bit of a negative tactic.
Okay, very, very interesting take. And again, going forward to the match against Burnley, you know, the fact that Fulham have now done this formation, it actually gives Sean Dyche, the manager of Burnley, something to think about because... You know, again, he has now prepared for that and also prepare for potential 4-4-2. So, again, this is a good situation to have this ability to play different formations. I like this, Dave. I see where you're going on this. But, again, I see your point, but I also see the other point of some of the phone supporters. I'm going to share them that again, I'm not saying that you need to go like for like, do 4-4-2, but maybe there are certain situations where 4-4-2 makes more sense. And you actually just gave one against QPR, David. You know, again, they played a 4-3-3, and we slaughtered them playing the 4-4-2. So that formation actually worked in that match.
Yeah, but as I say, it's every match is different, and there are probably different reasons to play.
Right.
But for me, away from home, the thought of having three central midfielders, you know, if you're against a 4-4-2, and we've got three in midfield, we should be winning every battle in central midfield there.
And if our three
at the back, you know, interchanging to be five at the back, we should also have a man over at the back all the time if it works correctly, or if what Mike says, how when one wing has gone forward, you know,
yep,
James Husband has gone forward, for example, Ream switches more to a left back kind of position. We have Stearman and Byrne in the middle, and Fredericks more right back. We still have the four at the back to match there for.
Correct.
And, you know, so for me, this is, I say, it's like a sleight of hand. You almost, it appears that you're gaining an extra player. And to have that 3-v-2 battle in central midfield, you know, that is a great thing to have, you know, because that means only two of them, you only have two of them to mark Kearney and Tunnicliffe and O'Hara, and if you give O'Hara space, we know he can be dangerous. We know Kearney's got some great talent. We know Tunnicliffe will run all day. He's got, you know, talent. So, you know, who's going to look after one of them then? So if we've got those three in midfield and they've got two central midfielders, who's going to have to play out of position, or who's going to be dragged out of position to stop us overrunning them in midfield?
David, you are making a very strong argument, and you know, because while you're talking about this, you know, again, I'm thinking about the three in midfield and how we could have a little bit of advantage there, and then also I want to say this because again I watched back the second half today, I watched the first half yesterday. One player stood out for me, and I know everyone's going to talk about Dembele, and of course James Husband. You're going to like this, David. You know who stood out for me? Dan Byrne stood out for me. Dan Byrne played a very good match and was really the rock in the middle of those three. He really was. And that, to me, said, okay, I could see how this could work because, again, you have Ream on the left. You have Stearman on the right. You really have a solid back three. And then, of course, like you mentioned, you have the three in the middle. Then you have the two up front, and then you have those two wing backs, you know, going back and forth. I mean, it really does give you a very interesting look and gives you the pace and the width that you've wanted. And so I see where you're going on that. But again, I'm just trying to play both sides of the argument here, David. So I'm going to read some of the comments from the Fulham supporters and we'll talk about it. Let's start with Styx Lewis. No team should set themselves up inflexibly. Have a rough formation and adapt it to suit the team you're playing. For instance, City have been weak defensively, so I imagine Kit set up an attacking formation to exploit their weaknesses. Roger Lewis said, I don't think it's wise to play only one system. What worked against Bristol may not work against other teams. Keep the opposition guessing until the last minute. That's kind of what I'm talking about with Sean Dyche. You know, again, now that you have these different formations, you can actually, you know, force Sean Dyche to really prepare for a couple of different scenarios, which is a good thing. Ben Reed says, horses for courses, dependent on the opposition. I'm sure there'll be games where 4-4-2 will be more suitable. Let's see what else he says. Great that we obviously have two styles at our disposal, though, and Kit deserves massive credit for changing things in the last match. It was clearly hugely effective. And David, you've actually said how, you know, you wanted to see it, and it was effective. And finally, Grant Harris said, depends on the opposition. We need to be versatile, something that has been missing from Kit's repertoire. That's actually a very good point, too, David. So what are your thoughts about what I just shared from the Fulham supporters?
I think it depends where you want to go with this, because if you want to go to Burnley and you want a tight match and you want to try and keep it, you know, 0-0 and maybe try and nick something, then maybe you would go and say, well, let's play the 4-4-2 and let's just try and man-mark them, you know, two banks of four, match them. But if you want to try and win this match, and at the moment, you know, if we want to get in the playoffs, we need to go on a pretty good run. I know we're not far from the playoffs, but we need to be consistently better than literally all the teams above us for the rest of the season, which makes it obviously, because if we're not, we wouldn't catch them up. So
right,
if we really want to be someone this season, you know, do we go to Burnley and try and break the jinx? You know, you know, because we haven't won there, you know, in my lifetime, I don't think we've ever won there. So do we go there with the same attacking lineup and try and cause them problems? At the end of the day, we always can change back to a 4-4-2 at any time with that lineup. You know, it's not hard, as I say, just for Husband to go to left midfield and Ream to left back without actually having to make substitutions unnecessarily. So it's not the end of the world if it doesn't work or it doesn't seem to be working. But I think it just depends on, you know, what your plans are for the match, what the manager wants to do. Whether, the obvious solution is we stumbled across something that's worked really, really well. You use it again, but I can understand why Burnley's a whole different kettle of fish, because obviously Bristol City had conceded 22 goals. They were down near the bottom of the table. They'd only won twice. So it is a game where you can go for it. You think we should go for it. It's a game, you know, you've got to be winning. If you want to be a contender, you've got to be winning these games. Let's make no bones about it. But, you know, if we want to be a contender, we've got to try and nick at least a point as well, I think, up at Turf Moor. And my fear is if we go in a negative fashion, that we won't get anything. We'll sit back and they'll break us down. It'll be a Fulham of old performance rather than, you know, what we've seen against Reading second half and Bristol City, especially first half. So I'm not saying we should play one system or the other, or we should have a fixed system, but I think I would look to try and see where this 3-5-2 takes us. I would perhaps hope that this is going to be our first choice system, players available, you know, notwithstanding, of course. And if it doesn't work, obviously then look to change it. But this way, the only losers in the 3-5-2 really are people, unfortunately, like Ben Pringle and Alex Kakanicic, who are,
right,
you know, because they effectively lose their kind of, because the left midfield position has kind of been made redundant temporarily. But then let's face it, Alex had a good second half when he came on against Reading, but you know, up till then he's been inconsistent, as has Ben Pringle, who's had, you know, some good games and some poor games. And so we're not really lost very much at the moment, not really. I mean, LVC is obviously another casualty as well, but then he was only really in the team as a cover most of the time. He, you know, because of Tom Kearney getting suspended and O'Hara being suspended also. So we're not losing too much from that. They can be on the bench. Kakanicic can come on. We can change the conventional 4-4-2 if needs be. It's not to take one system doesn't mean that the other systems are just dismissed completely. You know, I think they talked about it in the match. We almost went to like a 5-4-1 at times as well. If Ross McCormack drops deeper, so there's a lot of flexibility in that 3-5-2. There really is. But I just like the fact of the three in central defence and the three in central midfield, and that strength through the spine and that pace and width that we offer with the wing-back. So that would be for me, you know, I would hope that he's going to try and go with that now where possible.
Okay, very good, David. And honestly, I'm telling you, I enjoyed watching back the match and seeing how it all transpired, seeing how it all worked. And I liked the look of it a great deal. Just, you know, again, I'm just thinking big picture here. You know, again, I see it as something that he could use it, and I also see that he could still use the 4-4-2. Again, he just has options playing it the way that he wants to play it from match to match. I see where you're going on it. You know, again, you want him to use it on a regular basis, but we'll see what Kit decides to do, and I'm very curious to see what he does in this next match because, again, like I mentioned, Burnley – every single match, 4-4-2, does he match up with the 4-4-2 or does he go with the 3-5-2? That will be the big question when that starting 11 comes out tomorrow, David. I'm looking forward to that because I want to see if he does go with the 3-5-2 once again. All right, David, let's move on to the second topic in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. We're 2 months away from the January transfer window, but what position or positions do Fulham need to bolster when the window opens?
This is very interesting. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, if we need to bolster any positions particularly because we actually have a lot of strength in depth throughout the team, bar a couple of key positions. If we're going to be playing this 3-5-2, then at this minute it appears we don't have a lot of cover for the wing-backs. That's the danger. Because I don't think Richards can play the right wing back role, and I'm not sure if Garbutt can play the left. But the big if in this as well is Jim Husband. We've got to sign this guy. You know, I've been impressed with him since day one. You know, whether he's the best defender I've ever seen, I wouldn't say that. But you know, he made a mistake on Saturday, but we got away with it, thankfully. But I think his defending is more than competent usually. But getting forward, he's just excellent. You know, he has pace. He wins you free kicks. He wins you penalties.
He gets in the box.
He's exactly what you need. So, I mean, we've got to, you know, number one target is to sign him. They want to keep Amabieta, fine. If we want to, they want some money for Amabieta, and fine as well, you know, on top of the deal. They love Amabieta at Middlesbrough, it seems.
Yes.
Husband, I don't know what they think of him, but we seem to love him at Fulham. So it's a perfect match made in heaven, really, you know. A perfect swap deal. So keep Husband, most certainly. I'm not sure how that affects the thing with Garbutt, but we'll see how that pans out. Otherwise, you know, I think Fredericks, you know, if he can stay fit, is a great asset as well with his pace. He can do the same kind of role as Husband, but on the other team, on the other side of the team, I should say. Otherwise, I don't know, because even with three central defenders, we still have cover there. We have Hutchison, we have Bodroff who can come in. We can switch to two central defenders if we have to. Central midfield, we have Scott Parker, didn't even make the bench. He's still available to stand in. We have Matilla. You know, we have Christensen. Up front, we have Woodrow, we have Smith. I don't really see us, you know, we could easily field literally the same formation, the 3-5-2, it was most certainly a 4-4-2 formation with a completely different team. And you couldn't look at it and say, oh, that's terrible. Because, you know, as I say, we have Kakalicic not in the team, we have Pringle not in the squad. And other people, obviously, like Heinemann, not in the squad for, you know, he can't make the squad on ability, let alone probably because he's not really prepared to play. So I guess he's being overlooked anyway. But, you know, we have all these positions. We're doubled up in all these positions, I think. We have too many players, if anything. the only question you say, well, is there anyone in the 11 or in the 22 who isn't good enough, who could be replaced? Now, I'm sure you could come out and say Ashley Richards isn't that good, and you know, I know Mike's not a fan, I know Yanis isn't a fan, I'm not a fan, but I don't see Kit getting rid of him somehow. But I don't really think we need to, in the transfer window, go into it. January's a difficult window. You tend to get overcharged. So the only one that, you know, I would be saying is James Husband. If there's any way we can do a deal there, get him in. Otherwise, injuries aside, I think we're fine. I know goalkeeper looked a bit hairy for one point when obviously Lonergan was injured as well, but thankfully that was only brief. Lewis is, I think, a very competent third-choice goalkeeper. But say, without any injuries, I don't think we need to really be looking to sign anyone. I think we need to be making the most out of the players we have now. As I say, we could field two complete first teams with the players we have, I think. And, you know, look at the quality in a team that we don't have. We'd have Parker, Matilla and Christensen maybe as a midfield three. We could have, you know, Kakalicic in there. We could have Smith and Woodrow. We'd have Hutchison, Bodaroff. All these people have been first-teamers. Garbutt and Richards, if fit as well. You know, we've got another 11. We don't need to get anyone else. If anything, we probably need to trim in a couple of places.
Very good take there, David. And you know what? I completely agree with you on James Husband. That's the one place I'm thinking about. I think Fulham are in pretty decent shape with their positions right now. For me, it's about making a deal. I couldn't agree with you more. Make a deal for James Husband. Swap deal with Amorebieta if you need to sweeten it with some money. You know, do that. But again, make that deal happen. I think it benefits both teams. You know, you want a deal that both teams win. That's a deal where both teams actually win because they love Amorebieta. We love Husband. Let's make that happen in the January transfer window. I couldn't agree with you more. And what's interesting, I'm going to read some comments and you're going to hear some of that. First from Roger Lewis, I feel we are pretty well covered, but I'd like us to make a serious bid for Husband. A deal involving Love Bite may suit both us and Burrow. Colin Bugler said, agree. If And it's a big, if Burrow are willing to sell Husband, then we should buy him at the earliest opportunity. Okay, that's from those two. We do have some other comments. Curtis Hurd said, right mid, center mid. Giannis chimed in, more cover up front, a veteran striker, another right-sided midfielder. Oh, and trade Jazz to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a bag of pucks. I like that. Okay, Ben Reed says, center mid, what? No way. O'Hara, Tunnicliffe, Parker, Kearney, LVC, and Matilla are all more than capable center mids. And those are all of our comments there. David, what are your thoughts about all that?
I thought it was a bit unfair, the two deflated footballs for Jazz Richards, actually. I think one is more than enough, probably, in that case.
You too, David?
Yeah, and I listened to Mr. Hello and what he had to say yesterday. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I think right midfield, you could argue that we are maybe light of a right midfielder. But then with a 3-5-2, it's not a position you need to fill. In a 4-4-2,
right,
Fredericks can play there if Richards is playing.
Let me throw out a name, David, that's coming back, and you're going to be happy about this. Again, he'll be on the left-hand side, but we got George coming back.
Yeah, of course. I didn't even mention George. I'm really sorry, Steve, if you're listening. I slipped my mind. It's too much morphine again. But, of course, George is around as well, yeah. And George can play right midfield, of course, as he can play left, and he can play as a sort of a second striker. So no,
he's a true winger, David.
No, he is. That's right. George has always been playing as a wide man. And though he plays on the left, he is right-footed, so there's no reason he couldn't play on the right as well. I don't think he'd play in the 3-5-2. I wouldn't expect to see George doing the defensive things of a wing-back. But if you're going to play a 4-4-2, you know, with wide attacking people, then, yeah, certainly for George. And of course, we have Grimmer. He's on his way back as well, I believe. He's not, you know, I think he's up and running again now. He's not close to playing, but he's hopefully going to be back before too long. And, of course, that gives us more options there as well. So, really, I don't see, apart from James Husband, I really don't see the need to sign anyone. And it would probably do us good not to sign anyone. And if anyone we could get offloaded, even better, because, you know, we've probably got quite a large squad. You know, I think you could probably go to another 11. The 22 I named almost a minute ago. I'm sure you could pick another 11 if everyone was fit of people. And obviously that would be including people like George. You know, and obviously Marcus Bettinelli if he was fit, and Grimmer and so on. And there'd be people who have figured in the first team. And so I think we have a very, very big squad. It's just getting the best out of them now. And, you know, Saturday was a big kind of positive into sort of seeing the potential that we have if we tinker things around a little bit and play a system that seems to work for us. And so, no, I think everyone's got it right, really, there on the Facebook page, that we don't really need anyone else apart from Husband, really.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, it's funny because people forget about George. That's why I'm glad that I brought that up, David. I look forward to seeing George play again for Fulham Football Club because I think he has huge potential. And, again, if he comes back, then you have options to play 4-4-2 again, that he could slot in as a winger, like you mentioned, play wide. So, again, more flexibility. I don't think that they need to add anything in the January transfer window except make a deal for James Husband. And possibly, you know, I see where Giannis is going, a striker possibly, if you want to go that way. You know, I know several fans aren't crazy about Jazz Richards, but he can do a job for us, and I think he'll be an asset for Fulham Football Club. I do like Ryan Fredericks as well, so I'm not about selling Jazz Richards, honestly. I think he has a role for Fulham Football Club. All right, David, it's now time to play the interview done just a little while ago with Kid. He said some interesting things, so I'm going to play that, and then we'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll go into our preview. Sound good?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Without further ado, here is Kit.
Kit, it was a great 3 points on Saturday, unbeaten in October, but another tough game coming up tomorrow night. How's the turnaround and the change around, and how were all the guys after the game?
Yeah, obviously we got back Saturday night and sort of patched a few people up. We're in Sunday all of the training then. So it's, yeah, they come thick and fast, the games in this championship. It's unrelenting, unforgiving, but you know, it's brilliant. It's a great league, and I love it. And yeah, thankfully people came through. There's a few knocks, as I said, in the game, but everyone came through unscathed, and so we've got a full complement to pick from, which is really good. Jazz is coming on quite nicely with his injury, but he's still going to be a couple of weeks. Hopefully after the international break he should be available as well, so we're looking strong. It's good.
He changed the formation, went to a 3-5-2, which is, I know, a formation you're very familiar with the Wales set up. Do you feel now that you've got the personnel that you need at your disposal to be able to switch things up a bit and counter what was obviously going to come your way from the same formation with the Bristol City side?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, we played our system slightly different to theirs, in as much as we had sort of two players behind the striker, so whether they had two up front and the number 10. You know, we had Ross and Tom Kearney playing as two number 10, which is how we play at Wales. You know, we got Ramsey and Bale doing that job, so you know, Kearney McCormack in the championship is a good pairing for doing that, without a doubt. And they both had good games for us on Saturday and looked a real threat doing that. Now, partly it's a formation I've thought about doing for a long time, and now I think we've got the personnel to do it, as we proved on Saturday. I felt Saturday was probably the ideal time to do it, to match up against them. But also it's something that I'll do at other times as well, you know, when I think it's right to do it. If I think that system can work against other teams, then I'll do it, you know. So, but we've got good options now, which is great. You know, I like to play different systems, but you need the personnel to do it. I won't force things for the sake of it. It's got to be right for the personnel you've got available. And we've got, you know, a good squad of players, and we've got quite a few different options, which gives us another angle to hurt the opposition.
Burnley are going to be incredibly difficult. They're one of the favourites for automatic promotion. Turf Moor is a tough place to go at the best of times. What are you thinking for tomorrow night?
Yeah, exactly that. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard work. You know, we're going to have to defend resolutely and be solid as a unit, as a group, which I expect us to do. You know, the one thing that annoyed me a bit on Saturday really was we conceded a goal, you know, albeit very, very late on, and it was great. I came in the change room at the end of the game and the players were all arguing about the goal, about conceding the goal. You know, we'd scored four away from home in what was a sensational performance, but they're arguing about the goal we conceded, and I think that's a winning mentality. That's what I want, and so I was sort of delighted with that in a funny sort of way. I thought that was excellent. So you know, we know we can still get better defensively. You know, he went to Borough and kept a clean sheet, which is a very difficult place to go. We can do this. Again, it'll be defending as a team, which we need to do, and we've started doing it loads better, and we're getting better all the time. There's exactly what I've said all along this season. You know, this is we're a, you know, in a building stage very much, and it will keep improving. It will keep getting better.
And on to Moussa Dembélé, obviously. Two goals, he's doing really well. I know you don't think he's the finished article yet, and he's still got a long way to go. But in terms of Moussa and Fulham Football Club, he's been offered a deal. There is a deal on the table. Is there any news on that?
No closer to signing it as of yet. You know, Moussa is someone who's done very, very well. We've given him a chance, and he's taken it extremely well. You know, we do a lot of work with him in training. You know, this last week he was... Curbs called him in and went through some clips with him on individual on the video. So he's getting, you know, he's getting real nurturing and real advice, and it will all help him improve his game. And he's, you know, like we're a work in progress, as I said, as a football club at the moment, I think. And Moose is very much a young player who's learning, developing, and he's getting better and better all the time. And, you know, just coming from training now, and some of the football out there was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. A lot of joy to watch, and the confidence running through the whole squad is fantastic.
I could hear it. There was a lot of laughing and joking going on.
Yeah, and that's how I want it. You know, I want it. It's hard work, and I want the players really at it in training. But I want them to enjoy it as well. And I love them having a bit of a laugh and things like that at the right times. And like I say, they do that hard work with the quality, and it's a great combination. That's what we're getting now.
Two big games coming up. Obviously tomorrow night at Burnley, and then Birmingham. Both of those teams above Fulham in the league. Is this a real kind of testing period now to see matching up with the guys that are above you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's no easy games in the Championship, so, and they're all tough, but they're all winnable. You know, and I honestly now fancy us to beat anyone we play. You know, I've done all season and disappointed with a points tally early doors, but you know, Brighton are still unbeaten, top of the league. We should have beaten them. You know, we were by far the better team, had the better chances second half, and then they changed their shape to try and take the draw. They took off a striker, put on a holding midfield player, and they were taking the draw. And you know, but for a injury time penalty against a run of play, you know, we should have actually gone on and won the game, let alone get a draw and end up losing like we did. So, you know, and they're the top team who are sort of flying at the moment and still unbeaten, like I say. And we, you know, we're as good as anyone in this league. And say we're getting better.
Wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done earlier on Monday with the Fulham manager, Kit Simons, always with Sarah Brooks, Director of Communications for Fulham Football Club, and that was a little over 5 minutes long. I thought there was some interesting stuff in there. David, what did you take away from Kit's interview?
Well, I mean, it's good to hear that the players were disappointed with the goal they conceded. You could see that in the video, actually. It's, you know, it's good that they care about these things, and hopefully are working hard to make sure these things don't happen. I kind of get the impression that Kit might look to be more defensive in his approach against Burnley. Obviously, he recognises the fact that they've been doing really well. But then he says any team is beatable. So I think, you know, I stand by the fact that we should go there and try and beat them. I don't think we should go there and match them and try and hold them out. I think we have to, you know, ask them the questions. But, you know, a lot of what he said, he was right. And I noticed that, actually, that he said that it was a 3-4-2-1 in a way, because I noticed from the average positions that Kearney and McCormack seem to be both playing off Dembele, if you look at the average positions on the map. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
And that's the setup. He's, you know, he plays with Wales, so I would think that he wants to do that. The big question will be what will happen when Jazz Richards comes back, because we know he loves Jazz Richards. Will he change the formation to allow Jazz Richards back in, or will he keep him out because Fredericks is clearly the better wing-back than Jazz Richards is? That's going to be a very interesting thing. But obviously that's not a question for tomorrow's match. So I think, you know, it was obviously he was very buoyant. I think, you know, he sounded like quite a lot of pressure had been lifted on him, really, off him in a way, because, you know, we could have been looking at a very different picture, I think, had we lost the Reading game and maybe yesterday on Saturday. I think he probably would have been out of a job by now. But it's funny how things can change. And, you know, Alex Ferguson was one game from the sack, I think, literally at one point at Man United, and look what happened with him. You know, this could be the biggest comeback since Lazarus, yeah, for Kit Simons. It really could. You know, we've all written him off, and we've scored 4 goals in each of our last 2 matches. We are the leading scorers in the division. There's a lot of things that are going right for the team. You know, when you stand back and look at it, I'm not sure why we're not higher in the table, why we haven't won more matches. But, you know, we scored a lot of goals. We must be doing something right. So let's see if, you know, we can do the unbelievable and get something at Burnley.
Now, what's funny, David, is talking to Mike about this yesterday, talking about the formation, he actually thought it was a very good defensive formation to go on the road. I'm talking about the 3-5-2, again, it morphs into, like you mentioned, the 5-3-2. But he thought it was actually a very good formation to use on the road. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree as well. It's what I've been saying. You know, we've got the 3 central defenders, so you've got an extra central defender, and you've got the 3 central midfielders as well. So you're very strong through the middle, very, very strong through the middle. And if the fullbacks, if the wingbacks are coming back to play more as fullbacks, then you've got that kind of, you know, obviously, you know, you're hopefully covered there. Let me sort of, something that reminds me a bit of it. Do you remember when we played Manchester United and it was a draw and they had about a million chances of crosses?
I remember that, yes.
Ryan Tunnicliffe played almost. We played like as a 5 at the back that match. Ryan Tunnicliffe effectively played right back, and Sasha Rietha played almost as a right central defender, if you remember. It was a really strange thing, but it was all men behind the ball at that point. And it's something, you know, you can do. Remember, you've got Stearman is there helping out the right back as well as the centre back, as is Ream is helping out the left back as he's helping out the centre back as well. Unless they're playing with three out and out strikers, you know, at least one of these men is going to be free at all time, if not maybe two, to go and assist. So that's when you can really sort of start matching up man for man, as long as everyone is drilled as to who they go for in case of, you know, having no one to mark. Because there's times when you won't have anyone to mark if you're playing three central defenders. So, you know, it's a matter of everyone knowing their job and where they should be. But I don't think that, you know, the 3-5-2 stroke 5-3-2 is any less defensive if you need to be than the 4-4-2. In fact, it makes you stronger. You're sacrificing two attacking wide players. When you're sitting back as a 5-3-2, you're sacrificing two attacking wide players to have two extra men in the middle. When you're going forward as the 3-5-2, you've still got the extra man in the middle, but you've also got the wide players as well. So, you know, for me, I don't see why we should have to change if we feel we need to be more defensive. I think we can manage with the 3-5-2 stroke 5-3-2 because of the flexibility the system gives you.
It's a wonderful point. You know, again, it allows you that flexibility. You know, it gives you cover. You just mentioned the cover there, David. And then at any point, then you could just go forward, and then it just morphs back right to, you know, you can really bolster with those guys going forward on those wingbacks going forward. The one thing that really impressed me was going from defense to going forward with the wingbacks, how quickly they could move forward, especially James Husband. James Husband really stood out in that match. I see him benefiting a tremendous amount. Ryan Fredericks, too, but I think Husband even more, because you could really see him just flying down the left-hand side and seeing really how he benefits from this system. It'll be interesting to see if Kit ultimately goes with the 3-5-2 tomorrow, David. All right, let's move on. Let's now start our preview. We've got about 13 minutes left. I'll just share with you just some basic information about Burnley. This is, again, from whoscored.com, which I'd recommend everyone go into. It's a wonderful website. Burnley are currently third. They have 8 wins, 4 draws, 2 losses. They've scored 20. They've given up 13. They are goal differential is a +7 and are on 28 points. Fulham are 10th. 5 wins, 5 draws, 4 losses. We've scored 26. We've given up 24, a +6. And we are on 20 points. So our goal differential, believe it or not, is not far off, one off of what Burnley currently are at right now. Now, again, something about Burnley. In their last 6 home matches, David, they have won 5 and only lost 1. And they do play, like I mentioned, a 4-4-2. They have in every single match. Top-rated players, all 3 of the players I'm mentioning, are on defense. They have at right back Tendai, Darakwa, I'm probably saying that wrong. You got left back Ben Mee, and Michael Keane is the center back. Their leading goal scorer, you might remember him from Brentford, Andre Gray. He has 6 goals. And their other striker, Sam Vokes, has 3 goals. Other notable players, you're going to know both of these players. In midfield, George Boyd, and yes, Joey Barton is on Burnley. Team characteristics, strengths, shooting from direct free kicks, they're very strong at. Attacking set pieces, creating chances using through balls, defending set pieces, and protecting the lead, all of that they are strong at. Their weaknesses, keeping possession of the ball, they are known as weak. Again, this is according to whoscored.com. Very weak at defending against attacks down the wings. Very interesting. Burnley style, long balls, attempt through balls often, attack through the middle, non-aggressive, consistent first 11. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of a background on Burnley, David. Let's now transition over to Fulham. Who are your key players for Fulham in this match tomorrow?
Well, if they're weak on the wings, then, you know, this is, again, get Fredericks and Husband into play if we're playing that same system. But also, it's going to be that middle. We've got to crowd them out in the middle. We've got to stop Joey Barton doing what he does, because he is a good player. When he's not, you know, getting himself in mischief, he is a good player. George Boyd, he spends too much time face down looking for free kicks, unfortunately. So we have to watch out for that. You know,
I agree.
He makes Josie Altidore look upright, I think, by comparison. you know, three in midfield, Tony Cliff to do the work, O'Hara to do the work and to provide some outlets, and Kearney to provide some class in there. The two wing-backs, and then obviously, you know, McCormack to do what he does, and Moussa to hopefully do what he does, I think. It's let the three central defenders do what they do. You know, you said that they like to play high ball, so there we are, perfect justification for keeping Dan Byrne in, I think, really. Let Dan Byrne stay as the free man, and Stearman and Ream to mark the two forwards, Gray and the other chap. So, for me, I mean, I think they're all key players, really, but I think this is a game where we should try and take it to them again. We should try and attack them down the wings with width and, you know, to carry on. I think we need to try and start quickly. You know, there's nothing better than starting a game quickly and catching the opposition out. Look at Bristol. You know, even though Bristol were in the game at times in the first half at 1-0, you know, Mike said it was against the run of play literally when we got the second goal. But that just took all the steam out of them. You know, look back at, you know, the game that saved Martin Yole, where we beat Crystal Palace 4-1.
Yep.
Crystal Palace were all over us. And then we scored a wonder goal. And then another pretty good goal by Sidwell as well. It took the stuffing out of them. It just completely knocked the stuffing out of them. You know, they just didn't know how to come back after that. And they'd been the better team in the first half, Crystal Palace.
I remember.
Again here, I think, you know, you remember that. It's not necessarily who's the better team or who has the most possession. We've got to go at them. And, we've shown that we are actually quite a clinical team in terms of our shots, goals against our shots on target. We have a pretty good ratio, one of the best ratios in the league. So that's what we need to do. I think our defence is always our weakness to a point. We saw that because we let a goal in, a late goal in, and we've been letting annoying goals in. But I think our attack is very much our strength because we are the leading goal scorers, you know. The table doesn't lie, remember. So we've got to go into this game and we've got to attack. And if we can attack them from the start, take the game to them, if we can get our noses in front, they will be panicking. And then we have a chance to maybe get further, you know. If we just sit back, you know, I think we'll be giving them too much respect.
And Fulham have done that on a few occasions, Stephen, and I think it's got them into trouble. The ready match, you know, again, they sat back too much in the first half, and I think that got them into trouble, and they realized in the second half that they needed to take it to them. And what's interesting is I watched a good amount of video. I saw some good things from Burnley, and then I saw some things that I found interesting. Again, it's an away match. It's not a turf war, but they play Blackburn, and I'm here to tell you that Blackburn had several opportunities to really score here. I mean, several. I mean, it wasn't just a few. You know, Blackburn to me, you know, again, it was just a highlight package, but they looked very dangerous against Burnley. But then I watch another game, and then I would see just the consistent team that Burnley is. They are a very good team, but again, Kit's going to know exactly who they are. You know, they come right at you. They are 4-4-2. There shouldn't be any surprises here, David. So I'm going to agree with you here. I think Fulham need to take it to them. They got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Sometimes your best defense is your offense, like you mentioned. Take it to them. I'm there with you, my friend. So, again, keys to the match. I guess you could say what Fulham need to do to win the match is probably score that first goal and just take it to them.
Certainly. I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be as easy as it was at Bristol City to get that lead at four goals in the first half. You know, they've got a very, very good goalkeeper. Michael Heaton is a great goalkeeper. You know, he's been, he's been up there with the top guys. So let's not forget that. But he's not the only player in the team. And okay, they've got good defenders. Their best players are their defenders, supposedly.
I just mentioned that.
But you know, we've got to beat that. And as I say, we are the leading scorers in the league, so we've got to do what we're good at. We're not good at sitting back and defending. Not really. You know.
Okay.
We've struggled to hold leads. You know, look at the disaster at Charlton. So let's go for it. Let's go for them. Let's do what we're good at.
Okay. Very good, David. We only have 5 minutes left. All right, I'm going to ask you to predict what Kit's going to do. I know what you'd want to do. You'd want to go with a 3-5-2. Do you think Kit will go with a 3-5-2?
I really hope that he's going to be bold again and stick to an unchanged lineup.
Okay.
We've just won a game away from home 4-1, four first half goals. Don't tinker with the lineup unless you have injuries and you have to change it. I would say stick with it. I think if we play a defensive lineup, we'll just be inviting ourselves pressure and we're going to be hard. I think we've got to go for it. If we lose in going for it, so be it. Because if we just sit back, there's every chance we can lose anyway. So let's go for it. And, you know, I'm saying let's go with this. Go on, Kit, be bold. Pick the same 11, the same formation, the same 3-5-2 that we had at Bristol City. It worked then. Let's see how it works against the better teams.
Listen, David, I agree with you, but here's the counter-argument to that real quick because we only have a little less than 4 minutes. Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, you know, again, they played a defensive style that actually worked. It did work, David. So could he revert back to what worked against Middlesbrough?
Guarantee me a 0-0 draw now and I would take it, I guess. I would take a 0-0 draw at Burnley, I would. But I think as a gambling person in this respect, I would risk that 1 point for the 3 points we can get.
Okay. I hear you, David. I'm there with you, my friend. I want to see the 3-5-2. I actually think, based on what I watched and the research I've done, I actually think this is a good formation to match up against Burnley here. If you're going to go for it, if you're not, if you're going to play conservative, then you go 4-4-2, like you mentioned. All right. Real quick, here are some predictions from the Fulham supporters that I put on the College Talk Facebook page, so people could share their thoughts. Let's start with Roger Lewis. Any more than a point would be fantastic, I have never predicted a defeat. I will go for 1-1. Alan Freestone said 2-2. Cal Reed said 1-0 to the good guys. Ben Reed says Burnley 2, Fulham 4, men in white coats. That's all he said. And Stephen O'Keefe says it's a bogey ground, but reckon 2-2. All right, David, we have only 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. What's your prediction? You going to go for this?
I predict the men in white coats must be exhausted because they've been to your house, my house, Roger Lewis's house, and now they're going to Ben Reed's house. So they've been clocking up some air miles.
They have.
I fear that Kit will play the negative one and we'll get beaten 2-1, unfortunately. Please prove me wrong again, Kit.
Okay, prove David wrong. Okay. David, I'm going to go with 1-1. You know, again, I think a draw is not a bad result here. I would love to see a victory. I would love to see them go with a 3-5-2 to go for it. I would love to see it. I have a feeling, like you, that Kip might go more conservative, and I think a draw is possible. But I would like to see them go for it, definitely. I, they're playing with confidence, David. Feed into that confidence. Go for it. And here's something that I would tell the team before the match. They're going to hear all about our terrible record at Burnley, and it is terrible. But none of these players were involved in it, so I would say you have a chance to make history today. You know, Burnley is not a good place for Fulham Football Club. Make history. That would be part of my team talk. I said, so you guys have a chance to make some history today. All right, David, we got 60 seconds. Any final thoughts?
No, I'll just say I think if Kit goes negative, I fear for us, but I think if he goes positive, we could make history tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. Great way to end the show. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. For David Holley, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David.
Cheers, Russ. Speak to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Okay. Come out of-